Well, if you're going to define unpaid staff by the number of hours that they work in a given month or a given year, which is what your bylaws do, then for a period of time prior to the election, you have to record the number of hours that people work. There really is no other way out of the dilemma, and I've been saying that for years. For example, at KPFA, our unpaid staff organization, says you have to work 30 hours in a year. So what you need to do a couple of hours before the election is either put in a punch clock or have supervisors sign off on time cards and have the unpaid staff and have a record of who's worked 30 hours in the past year and who hasn't. And once people have worked 30 hours, you're done with that process. But that needs to be documented. Then you won't need to fight about it all day and all night. For those who need, for other folks, I think it's 30 hours and 3 months. Do I have that right? I can't even remember anymore.
That's
but again, the process, start about 3 months before the date of record and write down the hours. I think that's the only way to resolve it in the end.
I agree with you, but getting the general managers to agree to do the record keeping has always been the problem. And we've tried to make it easy. We gave forms. We passed things out. As far as I know, a few years ago, the only station that really tried to comply with that was of WBAI, and they failed because staff didn't cooperate.
This is Michael Lilly. You had Bob on the stack there, too, Carolyn.
Bob is next. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I really think that the issue in general and in particular at BAI is of a quite different nature than Carolyn's account. I think, in fact, there has been a union which, as Tracy said, unions that are recognized by management have clear rights under the bylaws to be the entity that designates membership for voting purposes. And there was always a mechanism for challenging any determination that somebody was on the unpaid staff and for that to be decided independently. But, that was not a problem. I think it's completely unhelpful to be using accusations that are Carolyn's personal opinion, such as padding, when that's never been verified. That's the opinion of certain people. And so I really have to say I don't think it's appropriate, especially at this early stage in our work this year, for the chair of the pro tem chair of the committee to be meeting with management to give her personal view of how that problem needs to be solved. I have no problem with things that nobody has ever disagreed with, like cleaning up the membership list. That's fine to point out to them some history that especially the newer GMs may not be familiar with. I don't have an objection to that. But to take a position on a highly contested matter that this committee has not even discussed this year until tonight, and that we're clearly not going to have time to resolve because it's a very complicated issue. I also don't think that the record keeping in the form that Tracy laid it out is practical or fair. And I'm not proposing that we have that discussion tonight because that could easily take the whole meeting. I'm simply saying at this moment that I think that we should... I'm asking Carolyn, and if not, I'll ask the committee to direct her not to get into areas that the committee, has not addressed, and that, that you could say that there are different views on what should happen about the unpaid staff list, and we'll come back to you once we've come up with a position, but not to use a solo opportunity where you're the only person on the phone line from this committee to give one view, rather than the committee's view that's been determined after.
We have some time restrictions here.
I'm finished.
Thank you. Is Ken to the stack?
Ken, yes, but I would like to respond as a point of personal privilege.
Could I first go on the queue because I'm going to be in the car and it's going to be noisy? Can I please?
Go ahead.
Lori, folks, I want to get on the stack on this question. I have priority.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken. Go ahead.
With all due respect to the viewpoint of the members, it's obvious from counting votes at elections, at least at KPFK and BAI and KPFA, that there's a de facto overweight to certain programs that have more than 10 or 12 people as unpaid staff, and that gives undue representation to shows. Show could be a half hour, and they can claim they have 30 staff members, and if it's a union, they can claim any qualifications they want. The sooner we start to talk about this anomaly in the democratic procedure, the better. So I don't understand. I don't understand the concept of saying that we shouldn't talk about it once we started to talk about it. Whenever we talk about it, we talk about it. We want to start talking about it now, we talk about it now. But the point is, there's a de facto improper representation where one show that supposedly has could have 150 different people in a collective and they want 150 votes in an election, and another show which might be on the air five times as long. In other words, a one-hour show could have 100 people in a collective, and a show that airs an hour a day could have three people producing it. And they get unequal representation. So it's an issue to be discussed, because something which was initially a good idea has been abused and become a problem. That happens quite often in organizations. So it should be addressed, and it should be corrected. And everybody knows about the problem, and you can't hide it and put behind, all kinds of intellectual discussions about it. It's a problem in representation. It's unfair, and it should be corrected. That's my viewpoint. I'm going to go back on mute, and we're on the road.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Anyone else want to respond to that or the issue that Bob has raised?
Well, this is Anthony. Let me weigh in the second time. I'm speaking only for my station, but I absolutely dispute that there is any padding of lists at our station.
Okay.
This is Margie. Yes. Hello, this is Margie.
Yes.
I would like to hear Carolyn's response to Bob. I feel it sort of makes that we would not approach the managers about issues that we haven't discussed here until we've discussed them, and that makes sense to me. And I don't know if that's a problem, but I'd like to know if it's a problem. I think the situation around the list is different in different places. It certainly is confusing, to say the very least, because I, for example, have a hard time understanding who is, in fact, eligible to vote, because I don't understand how the eligibility is determined. I don't feel like I'm condemning anyone for that. I think it's confusing, and we need to sort it out and figure out how the eligibility is determined, and then go forward from that.
Michael Ovid, can I get on a sec?
Tracy, put it
down.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Michael, please go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to speak from the opposite end, because I think that it's been the case at KPFK that many people who do work at the station, not claiming to be unpaid staff, but simply wanting to qualify as listeners based on volunteer time, have had a hard time getting qualified as voters because of the poor record keeping. And so I think at least as much of a problem as anything else people are talking about, is that they're not keeping records of what people are doing for the station, at the station, or away from the station, in terms of outreach activities and so on, is not being recorded and allowing them to qualify in the listener electorate as station volunteers.
Hi, Carolyn, am I on the staff? This is Tracy.
Yes. Tracy, okay. Go ahead, please.
My next? Okay. I said this before, and I think I'm going to quietly say it again. We can't change what the bylaws say. The bylaws say that you determine who is an eligible unpaid staff member according to how many hours they work. Those numbers can be different from station to station, but it is a question of hours worked. That's the criteria. There isn't any other criteria, and we can't impose any other criteria. So the question that we need to focus on, and this conversation always goes south at exactly this place, is how do we establish and document the hours that people work as unpaid staff members so that we don't need to fight about it? I think if we focused on that frame a bit, we would get a bit further, stating how things should be or that this isn't democratic or that isn't democratic isn't really the point. What we need to do is enforce the bylaws that we have, and that means we measure on the criteria of the hours that people work. If they work the hours the bylaws say that they have to work to be qualified to vote, then they are qualified to vote. The question is, how do we stop fighting about whether or not they have worked those hours? And that is an administrative problem and nothing else.
Okay, anybody else on this talk?
This is Margie. I just want to say I basically agree with Tracy, but I think that is the problem, is how is it based on what people say? Is it based on, you know, signing in and out? What is it based on, how you determine the hours worked? And that, and I think that's a very knotty problem and one we need to figure out how to solve.
Well, yes, I think that is the problem. And to respond to Bob's point, Bob raises an issue that's been not new, and if I may, Bob, a bit disingenuous to say that I'm talking unilaterally to someone who doesn't know anything about this. This issue was an issue in the last election, and it's going to continue to be one. And that is the question of that Bob mentioned, of unions. WBAI had a staff union, USOC, that was, I think, last recognized in 2003 by management. There's a long history there, and I will write it up, and Bob can write up his version to rebut it, or his statement of why he thinks my interpretation of this is wrong. And this has divided the station at WBI for years, because the group that has been representing this staff is not clear. We have AFTRA for the paid workers, but the unpaid workers have had variable representation over the years. So I'll write that up, because as Margie points out, it's very hard for somebody new to come in and understand this. There are tons of things in writing which I will bore you with. I'll put them into the files. Is there anybody here who cannot access the file section in our list, in our group list? Write to me off list if you can't get in there, and I'll help you make sure you can access the file and try it. But without boring you here, what Bob is saying is that my position is unilateral and solitary. It is not. It's clearly a position that has been upheld by management for the last couple of years, and we need to discuss that as long as it's going to continue to be an issue. I thought it was settled. Evidently, it's not. Maybe we need to settle time, you know, schedule a time to deal with that. But I will write something up for you all and send it around that clarifies the issue. Okay, any other comments on follow-up to Arlene's comments? Or
this is Bob.
Bob?
Okay, well, just one quick note on the last comment, that saying that one's position has been upheld by management doesn't mean it's correct. Obviously, many of us on the unpaid staff challenged management's decision on this very issue. So that's neither here nor there. And so I come back to my original point, which is about tomorrow's conference call, that I think it's not appropriate for the pro tem chair of this committee to engage in offering her personal opinions on topics that this committee has not yet resolved. And so I would ask you, Carolyn, to agree to defer that part of the conversation to a later call with management after the committee has reviewed the issues and, you know, considered, as you said, you're going to write some things and I'll write things and other people can weigh in. And then would be an appropriate time saying, well, after review, the committee's decided this is our view on this question. So that's a question.
Well,
I'm
not sure what it is you understand, Bob, that I'm going to say tomorrow. I asked for permission to talk to the general managers, explain to them, because some really still don't get it, the importance of cleaning up the databases and the lists and making sure that the lists are kept well, and as Tracy said, that there is good record keeping that we can all count on, and also ask for their cooperation when the time comes around with supervisors regarding time on the air for carts and also for candidates to have their time on the actual air. We had problems with that last time. And those are the two issues that I said I wanted to address.
Well, those I have no problem with those issues, but you actually did say another issue quite explicitly. You said you wanted to talk to them about the laxity in determining the lists of unpaid staff because there had been a lot of padding before you used that word. So
that's
the part.
I still stand by that. Yes, I believe that.
Right, and I'm asking you not to represent that as not to get into that topic because that's not your purview as chair. The only or as chair pro tem. The only reason you're on that call tomorrow is not because you're an interested party who's been around a lot of elections. Any of us could be on that call tomorrow if that was the basis. It's because you're the pro tem chair, and based on that, I do not believe it's appropriate to give personal opinions on things that are unresolved by the committee. The other things you named are fine. I haven't heard anyone object to those other points. So I'm not objecting to your being on the call. I'm objecting to your getting into a controversial, unresolved area.
You mean you don't want me to say that I believe that some of the lists have been...
That's right. Otherwise, other people from the committee should get on the call with you and offer a different view.
I will certainly, if that issue comes up or people ask me why and I respond, I will certainly make it very clear that that's my personal opinion from my personal experience, and I will not involve a committee in that issue. Thank you.
Well, that's not sufficient. I'm saying you should say that's an issue. There's a lot of different views, and our committee hasn't resolved it yet. So, you know, we'll have to talk about that on a later call. Otherwise, it's unfair for you to have a platform to give your views to management without any other point of view having a chance to be aired on that same call.
Well, I think my views are quite clear that there is disagreement. That is my view, and that is what I will present, that there is disagreement.
So you're going to present my view as well?
I will point out that some people disagree that there is padding, and some people believe there was. I will certainly say that. Mm-hmm. And I will say that my personal view is what I've just stated.
Well, I would just say I'm asking the other members of the committee if they feel comfortable with that, because I think it's an inappropriate role. We don't even have a permanent chair of the committee, and I think it's too early in the game to be getting into areas like this that are unresolved by the committee. So I would ask if anyone else has an opinion on this.
Well, that's not something the committee is going to resolve.
Several people objected to the term padding, and if they did, I wasn't aware of this issue, honestly, in the intensity in which it's coming forward. It seems to me that the priority is to the first two items that Carolyn mentioned, and not this one, because I think this one is a political question, separate from what the management's responsibilities are. And this is the policy body. I don't see the point of taking this issue to the management under any circumstances in the way you're laying it out.
To the management or to the general managers?
The management is what? The general managers is the management. What? I don't know what you're saying. What do you mean by management?
No, I mean, I didn't catch what you said. You don't see the point in taking this to whom?
To the manager. You're about to have this call with the general managers. That's the management.
Okay. Oh, all right.
The questions that you brought to them are the first two that you raised about their role, and their role is not on the policy question.
I think a clean list, though, is on the policy question. The question is, why should lists be cleaned? And Tracy did outline one or two reasons, and I think I've mentioned another. If you object to the use of that word, I will not use it, certainly. Any other thoughts on this or comments?
Oh, this is Margie. I just, I feel very new to this process, and I do think that it does make me wonder, I guess is the word, about how we function as a committee, because it seems to me that it does make sense for us to have come to agreement on issues before positions are put forward. Even though, Carolyn, I understand that you say that, you know, you're going to say this is your personal opinion and other people don't necessarily agree with you. That, I think, is a thing that's very hard for people to hear. And so what they see is that you're the chair of the committee and you're saying certain things, and that has a certain weight. So, you know, however this is resolved, I would hope that you would either refrain from commenting or make it, you know, just crystal clear that you're not speaking for the committee.
All right. Thank you for that. I will certainly listen to that.
Can I get a time check, by the way? Can I get a time check?
We had agreed on 30 minutes for Arlene. It's now 9:59. Maybe we need to move on.
I'm going to have to duck out pretty soon myself, so somebody else may have to take over the note-taking. I just wanted to chime in on something regarding the agenda. I think you listed me as having something to do with the question of database integrity, which I think is actually quite what we've just been talking about, even though it was connected to the Arlene discussion. And actually, I refrained from signing up for that committee last time. I'm very clear in my own mind that I did not volunteer for that one, just for the issue of pros and cons of the e-voting, because although I raised the question of cleaning up the list, it's a very important question based on my reading of the various NES reports. I did not feel I had the time to deal with it. I haven't done anything about it up to this point. So I think in your agenda or your notes that you sent around, you had me on that group, but I just want to make clear that I wasn't and haven't done anything about it. I did take the issue to send some notes forward about the pros and cons. And let me just briefly state those, because I am going to have to get up to call myself to at least check in at the LSD meeting here. I think that several of the questions I raised about opt-in and opt-out are very important. I think that we should take our time on the whole process of getting into the e-voting, look at it very carefully before we do, because of the questions of the impact it would have on the electorate. Same concern I raised about the listener membership based on the membership volunteer hours being kept accurately. I think we want to increase our listenership. We want to increase our electorate and not diminish it by any mechanisms that we set up. So I would say to move slowly and carefully. One idea I had was that we might want to start just with the staff for e-voting. Here at KPFK, where we use an electronic mechanism for staff evaluation of the program director, for example. And so that's all handled electronically in the station on computers. People log in and have their time to cast their evaluation and so on.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. We're getting into details of this, and what I really wanted to do was to somehow I thought that you had taken charge of that, but that group, I guess, really hasn't met as a work group.
No.
And maybe we need to meet as a work group and write up these recommendations and bring it back to the whole committee instead of doing individual comments.
I just wanted to chime in because I'm going to have to get up the phone and check in on the state of the LSB. If there's a little time, I'll get back on the call, but otherwise I'm leaving. So my note-taking will stop at this point.
All right, thanks a lot. Thank you. We'll keep you on that committee, even though you don't want to take point on it or you don't want to be on it at all. I'm not quite clear what Michael wanted there. Did anybody get that? Does he not want to be on the committee, on the work group at all? Did anybody else hear what he was saying? Is anybody else here?
Yes. I'm here.
Did anybody hear what Michael wanted clearly?
No.
All right, we'll have to just I think my point about these work groups is that I don't think any of us have met. I know I have not convened that group or the next one. So maybe we need to, as action items, just make point people for these work groups and agree to come back to the next meeting, which we've, you know, fortunately set the date for, which is coming up very soon. Maybe we need to start all over again on that. Who would like to take point on? I'll do the database integrity issue since I think I'd started that, and evidently Michael doesn't want to. But number two, I had billed as issues regarding e-balloting itself. Does anybody want to be on the work group to deal with that? Bill Crozier said he wanted to volunteer for a work group. He wasn't clear what he really had an interest in, but we'll have to ask him. But he might want to be on one of these work groups. Anybody want to take point on that work group? Issues regarding e-balloting to come back with a report? We had already started some of that, but we don't have anything in writing. Don't everybody speak at once? How many people do we have left on the call? Maybe it is time to adjourn.
Anthony's here.
Anthony's here, okay. Tracy, are you still here?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm sorry I can't volunteer for any of the work group.
Oh, yes, I remember you did say that. All right, we're missing quite a few people, though. Bob, Mark,
yeah, I'm here.
This might be a good issue if you want to get involved in something that's not quite so complex as the membership issues.
Well, you know, I'm glad to offer some input on it. I just, I'm going to be in and out of town in the next few weeks, so it's a little bit difficult for me to kind of play a major role. But, you know, perhaps later in the year.
All right. How about the search for e-balloting companies? We were going to use that nice checklist we had and maybe compare offerings from different companies. Did anybody get a chance to look at some of the companies? I sent around a couple of names at one point. Would someone like to do that? Just research them and perhaps call their, without asking for an RFP, just call their publicly available information as to what they offer.
This is Bob. I can't volunteer to do that, but what I can offer is to try to find my files from 2 years ago from the companies that did apply, so at least we could perhaps use them as a starting point to go back to them, or just to look on their websites and see what services they currently offer.
Yes, that's a good point. I think we may have even more choice now because more companies are doing STV, I hope, than we were limited to two or three that year, as I recall. All right, that's good. And then documents on prior EC work on outside companies. Bob, you gave us those documents today, and I guess we'll take a look at those, and I'll put them back on the agenda. Maybe we should meet and look at those and put in questions about some of that data from the documents, the files that Bob sent us. Now, election of officers, again, we still don't have a full complement, although we may not have quorum anymore. So shall I put that on the agenda under old business for next meeting?
I think that would be the best thing to do, yeah.
Is that all right? Now, the timetable for the elections process is a big issue. We can rough it out if someone would like to do that. Just look at the bylaws, look at the timetable that we have, and perhaps try and glean from various stations their dates for fund drive going into next year. That's going to be tricky. Make sure that we try not to overlap.
This is Margie. I actually would be willing to do that. You want me to contact the stations and find out what their dates for fund drives are?
That would be lovely. And then look at the bylaws and look at what we've done in past years. There are some timetables in the file section again.
Okay, I'll look there.
Of what the process is for hiring, and the bylaws give some parameters, and this committee gave others, when we have to do what.
Okay.
Get out, candidate statement. That's wonderful, Margie. Thank you.
Okay.
This is Bob. I just want to alert Margie and everyone else who's looking at the timetable in the bylaws to be sure that you're looking at the amended bylaws, because the entire timetable was changed in 07. And I can't recall off the top of my head if the version on Pacifica.org has been updated, but I know the version on KEWG.org is updated. So that's the one with the correct current timetable.
Bob, say the call letters again.
KEWG for KPFK Election Working Group.
Oh, got it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Offer a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. Accepted. All right, this meeting is adjourned. It's 10:09, and I'll see you on August 3rd? Wednesday, August 3rd will be our next meeting. Thank
Wednesday,
you.
Wednesday, August 3rd.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
Thank you. See you then.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Carolyn.